I'm not a huge fan of using the word hack, and I'm no longer a big fan of using tips and tricks and trying to give you quick methods that are going to adjust your voice, because it does take time and there are no quick fixes. However, in this video, I'm going to give you 30 examples of insights I've learned over the last 30 years of working on my voice. The first point is it won't happen overnight. Now look, I don't know how old you are, but if you're watching this video, it's likely you've got to a certain age where you've had experience and you've got to the point where you feel that you need help with your voice. If that's true, then the bad habits that you've accrued and the things that aren't going right for you have taken time. What you need to do is realize, like someone who's got obese, you can't just drop that weight off safely. If it's taken you years and years and years and years to put on weight, to do it safely and to make sure that it's going to be long lasting to lose that weight, it's going to take a bit of time also. It's the same with your voice. No matter what area you're trying to improve upon, if you've got into bad habits, it's going to take a while just to get back into healthy habits that are going to be long lasting and serve you for the rest of your life. Number two, without a clear goal, you are lost. That's right. If you don't know the destination you're going to, how do you know where you're going? You're just going to be going around in circles. Look, you don't go into an estate agent and say, "I want a holiday, please," and have them say, "Yes, sure, where do you want to go?" And you say, anywhere. And then 5 months later, you complain to them that you're in Australia in the outback traveling for a year when all you wanted to do was go to Ireland for the weekend. It's a different thing, right? So without knowing what you want, or at least knowing what you don't want, you don't have a direction to travel. You don't know where you're going, and you're going to go around aimlessly looking at videos like this, hoping for inspiration and getting nowhere. So look, know what you want, or at least know what you don't want, and go for that. Once you've achieved that, or at least you're on your way, you might realize, actually, perhaps it's not that thing I wanted, it was this thing. But without some sort of clarity around your goal, you'll never get there. Number three, and you'll hear me bang on about this on the channel all the time, tension is your voice's worst enemy. If you see two boxers in a ring, everyone's going to bet on the person that looks most relaxed, most limber. Because if you're physically relaxed, usually you're mentally, like psychologically relaxed, and you feel more confident and in control. And it works both ways. If you're more confident and in control, you're likely to be more physically relaxed too. It's the same with athletes. You can see people who are tense at the starting race of a 100-meter sprint or in swimming. It's always the person that looks the loosest and most like focused that wins, or at least, you know, does their best. And so, like I said, it can come with confidence, but confidence comes with practice. So if you can practice releasing the tension and the strains and the everyday stresses from your life every day, you're going to end up having a voice that befits that relaxation. You feel better, your voice works better, and the more both of them happen, the more both of them happen, because it will just, there'll be like a feedback loop between your body and your brain, and it's only going to make things better. Number four, you care too much. You care too much about what other people think of you. You care too much about what you think of yourself. What you need to do is forget judgment from yourself, from other people, and just work on what you need to work on. By worrying about what other people think of your voice, it's so subjective. Some people might not say anything about the way you sound and think you sound brilliant. They might love your voice. And if you're just listening to the people who might say negative things, I mean, it's just their experience. It's just their opinion. So really, don't care so much about what others say. Care about your intentions and being able to communicate yourself as well as you'd like to. Of course, there are ways of doing that. There's plenty here on the channel, and there's actually more information in the description box below about how you can start learning to stop giving a f*** about what other people think. Five, you're not sleeping enough. Remember, the voice is physical. You need sleep. Sleep restores your body and your mind. The voice is created from your body, and the confidence to use it correctly comes from your mind. You need to rest. You need to sleep. You need to rejuvenate, recuperate, and be reinvigorated to communicate at your best. I think there's a tongue twister in that. I'm not sure. Tongue twister? Yeah. If you're not sleeping enough and you've got a bad voice, try sleeping more and see what happens. Six, you're not hydrated. Okay, right. If you're someone who has to speak regularly and you wake up in the morning and take lots of coffee, perhaps you have alcohol in the evening, and then the next day you're wondering why you can't perform at work, at school, or on stage, or whatever you're using your voice for, perhaps you need to drink more water and perhaps a little bit of salt the night before. Just make sure that the body is hydrated the day before you need to perform with it, or use it. It doesn't have to be performer. But if you are someone who gets dehydrated, you get dry in the mouth, or you just find that it gets tired easily or weak. It could be that you just need more water. Just drink more water. Like, water. It's really simple. It's free. Well, kind of. It's out there and it's available to you. So I would use it. Good tip, that one. Number 7. Did you know that everyone wants you to succeed? Everyone wants to hear what you've got to say. Everyone wants you to clearly communicate your ideas, your messages to them. Whether it's a job interview or the boss you already have, whether it's a teacher or a student or anyone you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, when they communicate with you, when there's a discussion or a presentation, everyone wants you to succeed. Did you know that? Because it's true. Nobody wants you to fail. If they do, then they're best off out of your life anyway. But everyone wants to understand what your idea and vision is. They do. They do. They want that for you. So stop thinking people are against you or people don't want to try to understand what you're saying. If you're not able to communicate yourself clearly, they may or may not let you know that. And if they don't let you know that, but they're feeling that, then they're going to be off and you won't know why. And you're going to be self-doubting yourself. But people generally want you to succeed because that means they now understand what the f*** you're talking about. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't you? Do you want to go out and hear people mumble? Do you want to go out and hear people lisping and unable to find their words? Do you? No, of course you don't, because you want other people to be able to communicate themselves clearly, and that's what they want for you. Remember that. 8. Your body is an instrument. Like a guitar, right? You can tune it up. If it's in the wrong temperature, it's going to get warped and go out of shape and sound awful. If it's like too cold, it's going to warp the other way and sound awful. If the strings are missing or broken or different kinds of strings, it just will never sound the way it's supposed to sound. I've got a video on that, but I'll save it to the end. But your voice is an instrument. It's housed in this vocal mechanism here. And what it is, when you send air through it, you're playing it. You play your body, you play your instrument. When you speak, you are actually crafting vibration. And the way you craft that vibration are the kind of dynamics and the scales and the expression, the tonality of what you are saying. So, knowing how to play your instrument is one thing, but making sure your instrument is in the right conditions, make sure that the level of moisture or hydration is correct. It's not overused, that you look after it, you take care of it, you stay relaxed, you sleep well, you drink lots of water, you're ready, you're fine-tuned. Because if you're fine-tuned, if your body's aligned and relaxed and ready to speak, you can play it as beautifully as anyone that's ever lived. But if you don't look after the instrument, your body, yourself, then it's not going to ever sound quite as it should. Number 9, it might not be your voice. It could be your emotional self. It might not be that what you're experiencing with your voice and any issues you have are down to the physical instrument itself. It could be that you're restricting yourself because of the way you feel, or because of a psychological block. When I was younger, a teacher told me that I shouldn't be singing in assembly because I had a terrible voice. What a thing for an adult to tell, like, a 9-year-old. That was horrible. And I shut up. I stopped singing from then. And I didn't start singing again until I was 14 and I started taking lessons. But I had been very self-conscious, and actually to then find this new expression when I was 14, even though I was told I didn't sing and I didn't sing since then, I was determined to just figure it out. And I was terrible for many years. I'm still not a great singer, but you know, at least I have an idea of where my strengths lie and I'm able to express myself with it. I don't let it stop me anymore. It shouldn't ever stop you. But what holds you back the most is how you feel about yourself and being free enough to allow your voice to do what it does. And actually, don't worry about making mistakes. The biggest thing we can do, the biggest mistake you can make is actually caring about making a mistake. You have to make mistakes. Everyone in the world knows that in order to succeed, you have to fail first. So get used to failing, because that is going to get you over that little hump of feeling blocked about using your voice. It's like it comes back to my earlier point of you care too much. Could be your emotions, not your voice. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. It's not your voice. It's you just don't feel comfortable using it. But we can get there. We get there. Stay with me. I made a video on this. Speaking louder has nothing to do with effort. Well, you can project your voice by putting more energy into it and using more air in a certain way, how else do you think opera singers are able to fill massive auditoriums with their voice? However, for the day-to-day speaker, the day-to-day person who's just going about their day, working, studying, teaching, preaching, whatever it is you do, you shouldn't have to use more effort to speak. It's almost like technique, right? You can see swimmers. You could be struggling. Someone could be like splashing their arms out and putting all their energy in. But a good swimmer would just glide through the water like a dolphin, right? It's like that. It's like knowing how to use your instrument. It's knowing that there are other ways to optimally create sound that don't involve force or pressure or effort. And so if you're struggling to be heard, if you're struggling to speak up, if you're struggling to, I mean, create sound effectively, it's not always because of the amount of effort you're putting in. Sometimes it's just the way you're using it. So learning to use your instrument and learning to play it is going to be of benefit. Maybe you shouldn't think about being louder or projecting. You should think about resonance and working on the parts of the voice that could be freer to open up in order to create more sound. Plenty on this channel there, plenty here. And in fact, my 8-week course goes all over this. It's all it's about. 11, your voice will tire if you overuse it. Now, come on, this is obvious, isn't it? If you overuse anything, it's gonna wear out. So you have to be kind to yourself. You should really find times to rest, relax. If you have a job where you need to speak, or if you've got in a profession or studying or whatever it is you do where you need to use your voice a lot, like I do, you've got to give it some downtime. Make sure that you're hydrated. We've been through that. But you should also just give yourself time to relax, to not speak, to have a warm cup of tea or lemon juice and water. Just, you know, things that are just going to be kind to your voice. Have a sauna, have a steam room, have a hot bath. Relax. Chill out. Contradicting that, number 12 is your voice will tire if you underuse it. Now, the voice is a mechanism made up largely of muscles. Of course, it's connected to your skeletal system. There's a lot of intricate things going on in the development and the creation of your voice. And like any muscle, if it's underused, it will not function as well as it could, right? You think of someone who trains 5 days a week against someone who trains once a week. Who's going to be more adept? Who's going to get fitter quicker? Who's going to be in a better position to sort of grow muscle and keep it limber and working? It's the same with your voice. If it's a mechanism that you're not really currently used to using very much, it's going to weaken. And so when you do use it, you're going to find it tires quicker. But the more you get used to working on yourself, your voice, and speaking, the quicker you're going to be able to use it for longer periods of time without getting tired. Number 13, very important this. Warming up is crucial for your vocal quality and longevity. You are an athlete. If you're using your voice, it's a physical action. It's a physical deed. And like anything physical, if a runner doesn't warm up before they go running, they're likely to have an accident or not perform at their best. It's the same with the voice, right? You don't have to be athletic performance, you don't have to be a stand-up comedian or a voiceover artist or an actor or opera singer in order to get this principle. Because people speak a lot in the day, but they don't necessarily warm up or warm down. So warming up, just having a little time before you go into a position or situation where you need to speak for any length of time, is going to actually just allow your voice to be limber and ready before you use it. Humming is a good thing for this. Humming up and down a scale. Yawning. Do this for 5 to 10 minutes, like on your way to work or on your way to school or wherever you're going. And what you're going to find is your voice will just be a little bit more ready to speak when you get there. And it'll also last a little bit longer too. And it will thank you for it. And, you know, if you take a break, if you're off for an hour or two, again, 5 minutes before you start again, start to warm up, hum, yawn, siren up and down. It's going to help you. Sometimes it's best to say nothing. We talked about this with looking after your voice, but resting is one thing. Learning how not to tire your voice out is another thing. Saying nothing is good sometimes. If you have got to the point where you've tired your voice, if you have got to the point where you know you've overstretched it or done something you shouldn't have, like shouted at a football match or, you know, shouted at your child or whoever you're shouting at, or done something that's overstretched it and you can feel it's gone gruff, Just be quiet. Drink water, be quiet. Warm water, lukewarm water, have a hot bath. Just be quiet. You don't have to speak. Whispering's not going to help you either, because whispering's still sending air through the vocal folds, which will dry them out even further. So just don't talk. 15. You have to let go. You have to let go. Let go of caring too much. Let go of trying to sound a certain way. Let go of any tension. You have to let go. Let it go. Let it go. I am one with the rain and sky. Right? Just play with it. Stop holding back. Stop feeling so bloody serious all the time. Why so serious? As that guy said once. Really? You gotta let it go. You could be holding on, holding back, restricting yourself, blocking yourself performatively, psychologically, emotionally, and physically. And often they're kind of connected. If you feel bad about your voice, you could be holding back and creating physical problems. You might have a physical thing holding you back, which creates psychological problems. So yeah, just be careful here. Just let it go. Be free. Play. Explore. You can do this in your own time. You can do this on my channel. You can follow many videos and just have a chance when no one's looking to go blah and just do something. Do something different. Let it out. Let the voice go. Don't hold on to it. Don't try and be too perfect. Don't be too precious about it. You have to be playful. That's how you improve. That's how you feel more confident and comfortable using your voice. Play! Let it go. 16. Curiosity will get you further than ambitiousness. You see what I mean? Being curious and playful will get you further than being ambitious and competitive. If you're competing, if you're trying to beat someone or trying to show off, or you want to get to this thing, there's a certain drive that comes with ambition and competitiveness, right? There's a certain push behind it. There's a certain intention, and there's nothing wrong with that. However, if you're watching this video and you've got this far, it could be that you're trying to be too perfect, that you're trying to outdo someone, you're trying to beat, you know, you're trying to get to a certain level and you're pushing yourself, you're being hard on yourself, or you're trying to beat someone else. But that's never going to beat being curious and learning to discover what you're doing as you're doing it and being interested in how you can make change and manipulate change in your voice. So that the idea of being free and playful and then finding things and going, that worked. As opposed to thinking you know what you're doing and trying to hit something. Because there's a level of tension that goes into that, and that sort of drive isn't really a way that you're ever going to open up your voice. Usually it's going to close you down. Number 17, this is a good one. Your daily ergonomics will affect your vocal production and your voice. Look, I'm sitting now on a swivel chair. I'm quite low down. I should probably get a bit higher. There we go. How's that? Oh, a bit weird now because I've been doing the video differently. But look, am I back in the same place? Right, yes, daily ergonomics. You spend the majority of your day doing what? I don't know. You could be a garden keeper, you might be a lawyer, you might be a teacher, you might be a professional swimmer for all I know. But whatever you do for the majority of your day, it's going to affect how your body works and responds, and therefore how your voice works. Quite simple. We've already talked about sleep. Posture and alignment are one thing, and working on those is great, but if you do a 10-minute workout for your voice and your posture and alignment, and it's all good and ready to go, and your instrument is well kept, and then you go to work 10 hours like this, you're kind of counterbalancing that work that you've done. So finding a way for your that if most people sit at work, right, like I am here, if you're able to spend some time standing up, maybe lift your computer higher and stand up for an hour, then sit down for an hour, and then move around, go for a little walk. Keeping it moving, keeping things changed, understanding that staying in one position for any period of time is really going to set you in that position. Your muscles will adapt to stay, you know, like that. And if your voice is suffering, if you're someone that needs to change their voice, then perhaps looking at what you do in your daily life and how you do it and how long you do it for, and perhaps making some changes to that could affect your voice. And in fact, all the answers to your issues might be in just changing your daily ergonomics. Also the way you sleep, but I'm not really an expert on sleeping posture, but there are people out there who can actually, would actually give you better sleeping habits, not just for the length of time you sleep, but how you sleep in your bed, the type of pillows you use, the type of mattress you have, how, you know, the temperature and whatnot. And I think that also has an impact, because if you're in bed a third of your life, that's quite a long time, and it's going to have an impact on your physicality and therefore your voice. But one thing you can control is be mindful of what you do during the day and how you stand and how you approach, you know, using your body in the real world. Number 18, tongue twisters work. Dexterity is real. Now, there's a huge amount of speech pathologists and therapists out there that say that tongue twisters don't do anything. Well, I'm here to tell you, they f***ing do. I don't know where you get that idea. What I think it is there's a lot of speech therapists, like doctors, have a prescription to give. They're trying to get you to keep coming back for more, because that's the system they're working under. They don't want to give you the answers, right? If everyone thought that tongue twisters were going to help their articulation, then they'd be out of a job, wouldn't they? For the large part of it. I went to speech therapy, and whilst the work worked for me, I realized that tongue twisters and dexterity itself actually opened up whole new avenues. It got me to be more playful, which is very useful. But it also helped me not work on specific issues with my voice, but I did mumble. But what it was, I wanted to start getting them correct. And in order to say them correctly, you start slowly. And once you can say it slowly, you can start to build up speed. As long as you don't learn bad habits, like if you keep tripping over the same point and don't stop and go back and readdress it slowly, then you're going to learn that bad habit, right? Your body will automate a mistake. So as long as you start slowly and build up speed and always go back if you make a mistake, dexterity exercises, tongue twisters, will improve your dexterity. You'll be able to articulate without even knowing how you did it. Pick a whole range, find what is really hard for you, and just take the time to work on them slowly and surely, and then build up speed, because you'll build up vocal confidence, and when you do, everything else will fall into place, because all your articulators will be firing on full cylinders and you'll feel great about it. It works. Number 19, and I'm largely speaking to anyone outside of the UK who's not from the UK and doesn't speak with an English accent naturally. If you have a very strong accent and you're using the English language, perhaps finding ways to reduce that accent so majority of people can hear you and you can communicate with others better is a good goal. Unless you move to England and are hanging around with a specific group of people who speak that same way and are dealing with, working with people who speak like that all the time, everyone's going to know that you're not from there, you're not doing that. If you live in a country where that isn't the main language, you might fool some people, but why would you want to? You can choose what you want, but if you're not from the UK and you don't naturally speak English, or if it's your second language, really, I think you're wasting a lot of time trying to sound more like that. Perhaps you've got different reasons. Perhaps you've got good reasons. And it's not really for me to judge, but I strongly suggest you think about reducing your own accent before you start picking up a new one. As a voiceover artist, as an actor, as someone who's worked with accents a lot and seen people's want to sound like that, I've been often curious as to why. Don't try and sound too English. Just trying to sound more understood. Number 20, your voice will mature with age. I know if you're 16, 17, 18, that you want to have a deeper voice and you want to maybe believe these people who tell you you're going to get it in 3 days by following my plan or taking these pills. Look, don't go taking any pills, all right? Your voice is exactly the way your voice should be. You can do things that will help create a rounder, richer, more resonant and deeper voice. If you're a man, if that's what you want, or if you're a woman, perhaps you want that too, I don't know. As you get older, your voice will naturally deepen. You'll become more embodied in this chasm, in this instrument that you have. Age will change things. And my voice, you know, I was told at acting school that I wouldn't be acting for 10 years by one agent, Nikki Winterson. She was right. My voice was quite authoritative, but my face was very young, right? And there was an incongruency. It just didn't work together. So 10 years later, my voice is, you know, still quite authoritative, but my face is a bit older. I've got a few more wrinkles, a couple of grey hairs, and then I start getting work. It's good to know that as you age, you might fall into your voice more. It might just settle, right? And so don't try and push. Don't be hard on yourself. You will become the person you're meant to become. Your voice will develop the way it's naturally meant to develop if you can leave it alone. Don't get too much in the way of yourself. We're not here to fix voice. We're here to free voices. And a free voice is a natural voice, is a lot more attractive to listen to than just a deep voice or one that's been trained to try and force itself deeper. I swear to you. Which brings me on to 21. 21, you do not need to have a deep voice to be loved. You don't. It doesn't make you more attractive, no matter what those people on the internet say. It's not true. It's really not true. Do you think that just because you've got a deeper voice, people will love you? Or do you feel that because you're not loved, it must be because you don't have a deep voice? People are playing up to your insecurity. They're trying to sell you something. Be warned. There's a reason that my first course and my most popular course is 8 weeks long, because that is the minimum time it takes to make any changes. The minimum time. Even though it's 8 weeks, it takes a lot longer. Life is long. You're training your body like an athlete. It takes time. But just know that depth of a voice isn't making you more loved or attractive. People won't like you more. You need to sort out your heart, your inside, what's going on in here. You need to forget what other people are thinking. Do you know what? When you care less about what other people think, you're actually going to become more attractive. You're actually going to find more love. And it's nothing to do with your voice. Although, once you do have this lack of caring what other people think, your voice might even drop. It's useful to know because people will manipulate you against that one. 22, if you slow down, you can eliminate 99% of speech clarity issues. Did you get that? I think we've sort of gone over this one already in a roundabout way. Whatever your issue is, mumbling, lisping, I can't really speak for neurological conditions or vocal trauma. So if you've had some like physical damage or there's something going on in your brain that's creating speech problems, I am not the person for you, right? You need to go and speak to a speech pathologist or speech therapist. But 99% of vocal clarity problems for people who are unaffected by physical or neurological trauma can be solved by slowing down. When you slow down, you will identify what the issue is. You can address that issue, and then you can train yourself out of that issue before you learn to pick up speed again and speak the way that you intend to in the first place. Slow down. Do it in your own time. Record yourself into a phone. Record yourself speaking slowly and listen for any patterns or anywhere that you're tripping up, any specific sounds. On my website, there's a resources page where you can find a script called Comma Gets a Cure. Download that and speak through that, because that covers many phonetic sounds in the English language. And you can hear yourself tripping up. And if you know where you're tripping up, you can find dexterity exercises and work on those from there. Well, 23 actually is 22. It's like never skip past vocal mistakes. So not only should you slow down, but if you find that you are tripping up certain words or lisping or creating sharp S's or mumbling over certain parts of a sentence or sounds, address it. Don't skip past it and think, I'll leave it till tomorrow. Do it. Go back. Say it again. Go back. Trip over it again. Go back. Slow it down, try not to trip over it, figure out a way to change the shape of your tongue, the shape of your lips, how wide your mouth is. Play around until you can create that sound more clearly, and then pick up speed, pick up speed, pick up speed, pick up speed, pick up speed. Don't, if you keep tripping over it, if you go back to tripping over it, go back and do this. Slow down, go over it, and rework what you're doing with your articulators. I know this might seem a little confusing. That's why I created my advanced articulation course, for people to better understand what it is they need to work on. But I believe that this is a great way to do it. Number 24, you are too hard on yourself. and your voice. Be kind to yourself. This is a note that I used to get at acting school, actually. It's that I was determined. I was just, I've got to do this. I've got to improve this. I've got to be better. And one Laban teacher, George, I think her name was, or Georgette, she said, Darren, you're too hard on yourself. It's okay. You know, you might not have the voice you want. You might not be getting work. You might not be doing what you want in life, but being hard on yourself is not going to help you. It's one thing to be a perfectionist, but to become a perfectionist is not necessarily helping your voice. You have to find a way to forgive yourself for making mistakes so then you can learn from them. Because if you're hard on yourself, you won't learn from those mistakes. You'll continue to make them and you just continue this cycle of, you know, self-hatred. So be kind to yourself. Be gentle. Take some time for yourself. It's really important to get out into nature. Drink lots of water. Sleep well. Don't overdo it. Because all that will affect your psychology around your voice also. Don't beat yourself up. Just know you can improve. You just got to take different steps. Slow down. Don't worry about failing. Play with it. Move on quietly, comfortably, and confidently, and you'll be fine. Number 25, consistency is key. Nothing happens overnight. There's no quick fixes. And if you want a better voice, if you want to improve your clarity, your communication skills, and your confidence, it's going to take time. It doesn't have to be a lot of time, but if you're consistent, it'll happen quicker. If you work every day, a little by little, little by little, you get better and better and better. And then at a certain point, you'll get to a tipping point where you'll just notice exponential results. Everything just works. And you don't know why? I can tell you why. It's because you worked slowly, consistently, and you kept up the work. Very simple. There's lots of work here on this channel. There's enough 500 videos, so there should be no excuses of you not being consistent, right? Turn up, show up for yourself every day. 10 minutes a day, that's a good start. I'd suggest more, but it depends what you want. Number 26. It's quite normal to be afraid of public speaking. It really is. It's the most common, and I think it's the biggest fear that most people suffer in the world. And it comes from a very real place, because as humans, we were once in tribes. We were once in smaller groups of people. Now the world is open to us. But before, we only had to work within a certain group, say like 100 people in our local community. And if what you said was taken the wrong way, or if you weren't able to defend yourself vocally, if you weren't able to communicate with the group, you could be ostracized. You could be kicked out. Now, that meant, in those days, death, because there was no infrastructure. There was no other city to join, because if you went to another city, you might get killed. So, and you might, you know, if you were in the wild, you could lose your access to food. You might lose your family. You might get illnesses. You might get attacked by a bear. And so there's an inbuilt fear in us to communicate well. And our fear comes from worrying about what other people are going to think of us. And it's a very real fear. But now I've told you the secret behind it, you should no longer fear it. Or you should at least know the fear, laugh it off, and try and move on with your life. Just get through it. You kind of have to feel that fear. I still feel fear, even sometimes on the camera, but especially when I'm speaking in front of other people. I'm off to Doha in a few weeks to give a 3-day workshop on speaking. And I'm a little bit nervous. It's been a while since I've done a 3-day workshop. And I have to speak in front of these people, but I know I'll be fine after the first few minutes. Once I get into it, I'll be absolutely fine. So just know it's very natural. Everyone gets it and it shouldn't stop you. Work through it. Go in the fear. Actually, the more you put yourself in that fearful position, the more used to feeling like that you'll be and the easier it will become. So you just have to kind of get out there and do it. Number 27, proper breath for the voice helps you in other ways too. Breathing properly, diaphragmic breathing, as they say, not only helps support your voice, giving you better access to more range and resonance, but it also makes you feel calmer. If you're breathing deeply, you can relax the mind. And if you relax the mind, you can control your voice and your intentions to speak much better. So it will also help you sleep better. It will also help you function because you're regulating your system better. So voice breathing is actually very good breath for other parts of your world too. And like I said, there's lots of videos on this channel that can help you with proper breathing and understanding what belly breathing or diaphragmic breathing is. So check one out and know that it's not just for your voice, it's for your entire being. powerful stuff. Number 28 is don't overestimate what you can do in a month with your voice. You might think that you're going to get a vocal app, you're going to follow this AI that's going to tell you where your voice is, up here, is it down there, what pitch you are, what kind of celebrity you sound like. And in a month, you're like, okay, so where's the improvements? You're overestimating what you can do. Like I said, if you're going to a gym and you want to build muscle, you're not going to do it in a month. Of course, you're going to start making some improvement, but you will not see it for a few months, right? At least. I'm not a physical trainer, but I do go to the gym and I do work on myself regularly. And it's taken me a long time to see the gains I'm only really starting to see now. And with the voice, it took me a long time too. But that's because it's physical and you're changing muscles. You're changing postural habits and you're changing the way you work and live. It takes time. Think about nutrition, hydration, the way you sleep, and everything we've talked about in this video. It won't happen in a month. Maybe. It depends what you want and where you are. You might make one change that overnight just transforms your voice. But for the majority of us, we've taken a time to get into bad habits, and it's going to take a bit more time to get out of them. However, number 29, don't underestimate what you can do in a year. A year is a good amount of time. If you set aside a year to work consistently every day, I think you'll hit the voice dreams you'd never even imagined were there or open to you. Like, if you don't have a neurological or physiological issues or trauma, and your voice is just stagnant or it's just not working for you for no other reason than, you know, lack of education or lack of use, then in a year you can achieve a lot. You can get so far. So the more you understand it, the more you work it, the more you use the voice, the more limber it becomes, the more playful you become, the more dynamics you get, which make you more engaging, and the more able you are to communicate with clarity, confidence, impact, and ease. It's a beautiful thing. Give yourself a year of consistent work, but knowing what you want to achieve, and you'll get there. No problem. Okay, so this is the final thing that I'm going to share with you from my 30 years of experience. Your voice is a mechanism not only for expression, but of communication and acceptance. I think this rounds up everything we've talked about quite nicely. Even though the voice is physical, the ability to use our voices is a privilege, and it does connect us to the rest of the world. And whereas you may or may not be someone who spends a lot of time on the computer communicating online or in social media, at some point, you're going to need to speak up for yourself. And how well you do that will really place you in the world as someone who could be trusted, as someone who could be relied upon, as someone who can clearly communicate their message, their ideas, their insights, their vision, or not. You can make that decision. What do you want? Do you want to be more accepted in the world? Do you want to be able to clearly communicate your vision, your ideas, yourself, so that your message is congruent with how you sound and vice versa? Or are you going to sink into the safety of your computer or your device and just waste your life away? Voice work, communication skills are some of the most powerful things you can learn. You can learn tips and tricks and superficial ideas and ways of working on your voice, but your voice, your physical instrument, should come first, because it not only helps what you say, it helps how you feel and how you communicate in other areas, even on social media and through the computer. Even the prompts that you give to AI need to be communicated with clarity for you to get the results you want. And if you can do this verbally, you can do it in any other way. And if you'd like 30 insights from my 30 years of experience sent to you in your inbox over 30 days, sign up with the link below, and I'll give you tips depending on which area or focus you want to go for. I'll give you 30 days worth of information and insights that I've learned on each one. There's 5 different areas: public speaking, there's articulation and clarity, then there's voiceover, camera presentation, and for those people who are just really not sure, the 5th one is more aimed at kind of like what we talked about today. And remember what I said earlier about looking after your voice and treating it like an instrument. I want you to check this video out. It's going to go a little deeper into that concept. And because it's so valuable to understand your body and how it works and how it functions and how you can better look after it, I want you to check this out, all right? It's a good starting point, and hopefully it gives you enough encouragement to go out there and make those changes for yourself so you can have the voice of your dreams. Thanks for watching. I'm Darren McStay. This is Improve Your Voice. Until the next time, see you there.
Got a feeling there's no longer any room for two. And I believe it wouldn't hurt to have the extra room.